I'm not going to talk until this comes up, where this part that comes up here in just a moment. So let's wait for this. Here it comes.
If that doesn't make you smile, you're not capable of having joy and smiling. Because that makes me smile, and I assume it makes most of us smile. Linus and Lucy, our holiday theme, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, we celebrate it here on the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. See how I hit those points each time? I love that. It's like when we were disc jockeys. Disc jockeys. Well, I see it still has a funny echo in the system that they said my brain would get used to.
That's how you know you're home.
Rather than them get... See, you don't have an echo when you talk to me, but there's the echo. Well, it was a very... I'll start with the good news. A fabulous Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great one. I hope it was a great Thanksgiving for you. And we had great food at Jessica Smith Burns and Scott at their house, and everybody was there. I can't name everybody because there were too many of us. But we had great food, and we topped it all off with those great Grand Traverse Pie Company pies. Apple, cherry, and pecan. Doesn't get any better than that. And so it was spectacular. There's still food left. In fact, you might be finishing your last great cold turkey sandwich.
And Paul, today is a very exciting day because you think that our program director, Ann Thomas, is getting an award, but she's not. You're getting an award today.
What?
Yep. Surprise!
No, come on.
No, nope, you're getting an award whether you like it or not.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah. It should be getting here any second.
Am I being kicked off the... Oh, my God. Mayor Mike Duggan, soon to be governor. Mike Duggan. Oh. Should I kiss him on this side? Is that better for you? There. He doesn't want to kiss like that.
Yeah, Paul can't come to the microphone right now. I'm going to let you do the honors once you're done with pictures, Paul, to let everybody know what's happening in here.
Oh, my God.
But it's a very exciting day here at WJR.
Oh, my God.
The studio is full of people, including one Mayor Mike Duggan.
You look great, by the way. How's it going?
Looks like Paul is...
How's it going? How's the effort to be our next governor? I know you're still doing a great job as our mayor, and we couldn't be more excited for you. And I cannot believe I bought this hook, line, and sinker. Where is Steve Finitieri?
Steve was behind all this.
He's here in the control room. Steve, they're calling you into the studio.
What a great actor he is.
So we should tell people that I have just presented Paul W. Smith with the key to the city, which is the highest honor a city can give any individual. The history of this is that in the Middle Ages, there literally, people lived behind walls, and there literally was a key to the city. And only the most trusted residents would have that key. And so the tradition is carried on. But Paul W., the one piece of advice I've been given throughout my career is, never follow a legend. It always fails. When you came in 1996 following J.P. McCarthy, and they said, who's this new guy? It was remarkable. And you accomplished the rarest of all things. A legend followed a legend. 30 years here. You're such a big part of this community. The $4 million you raised for the children of the Police Athletic League through your annual golf outings, your Michigan of the
Year
actually
awards. Turned out to be closer to $10 million net dollars for those children's charities, meaning that's the amount of money they really got, not toward expenses or anything else. But thank you for bringing that up and mentioning it.
The Radio Hall of Fame, you're a Monroe kid who Michigan grad. We're glad to have you here, and I just wanted to present this award and this is my last month in the job. I get to just do the things I want to do. And this is the first thing I wanted to do was bring this award to you.
Oh, my God. Mr. Mayor, I feel like crying, but I feel I must keep it together here because I have to say to you, it's going to be very hard not having Mike Duggan as mayor of the city of Detroit. I don't doubt that our next mayor, that she's going to be great, and we're going to try to help her. But what you've done in your several terms is in the history books of being the most incredible turnaround of a city anywhere, anytime. And I want to thank you for all of the good things you've done. And I've known you a long time. We painted schools together. Right. We did, I mean, 1990s. well before you were mayor, because I was here back and forth. And you've just done an incredible job for all the people within the sound of my voice and then some. And I can only hope for you the best of luck in your next endeavor.
Well, I just came down Grand Boulevard from another announcement. We kicked off the development of the Packard plant site, which, as you know, has been closed since 1956. But we just had the developers come in. They're going to build a 300-employee factory. They're going to have an Albert Kahn legacy space. They're going to have an indoor skate park, an electronic music museum. Mark Bennett and I'm going to say his name right, but Goldenberg, who did the Lincoln Motors, are doing a great project. So I just drove right down the street from one legend on Grand Boulevard to another, and congratulations.
Oh, my God. And they just handed me the real rundown because I have on my rundown Ann Thomas and a special award she was getting from Michigan State. Now I feel bad that she's not getting a special award from Michigan State.
She's getting it. She's getting it in April. It's okay.
Oh, she will get it then. Oh, good, good.
Yeah,
that was our cover story.
Yeah, it worked.
And you obviously didn't do any research, or you would know she's getting it in April.
I wrote to my boss who asked me to be here to surprise her for this award, and I said, "Do you have a press release? Do you have anything at all?" And he just explained part of it. And I went, "Okay, that's fine. That's the way we roll in radio. Here's the other way we roll." We are on the fly changing things around because apparently everyone here knew but me what was happening. And I want you to stay around, and I want to talk to you about you. Enough about me. I love this. I have, this heavy box, a picture of me. It says, presented to Paul W. Smith in deep gratitude for your decades of leadership informing and educating millions of dedicated listeners in and beyond the city of Detroit on issues that touch their lives, and for helping tell the story of Detroit's turnaround, signed Mayor Michael E. Duggan, December 1st, 2025. There's a key to the city. There's a WJR logo. And I have to tell you, there are times when you wonder if anyone noticed over these last 30 years the kind of work that we had to do. I was very aware when I came here there were people saying there was never a reason to listen to or to buy as advertisers WJR now that JP was gone. So I worked 7 days a week, 20 hours a day, emceeing every event that I was asked to emcee, going out on sales calls with the sales department, doing all the things I could to prove that that wasn't the case and that to prove that, in fact, J.P. McCarthy gave us a wonderful foundation on which to build upon. In a moment like this, makes me feel like you've noticed.
I don't know how many charity dinners I was at when you at 9 or 10 o'clock at night are emceeing the program, which everybody loved. And I'm like, what time do you have to get up in the morning? You weren't getting a whole lot of sleep. But it meant so much to people that on their special nights of the year for all of the big charities and all the big events that you were there. What you did has meant a lot to so many people. And I'm glad we could celebrate it before I leave office.
I am so glad, especially coming from you, Mike, because I've known you a long time. I know you're not done, but you're done with this job, and you did a marvelous job as our mayor. and I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And I know how much and how hard you worked to do what you had to do. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. We're going to spend a little more time with Mike Duggan and talk about him instead of me. But I thank you all, everybody here on the team, led by Steve Finitieri, for pulling off the best ever. And Mike Wheeler, I take back all those things I said to you. Oh, there he is. There he is. I take back when I came in, he said to me, well, I'm not going to go through it because I can't say what I said on the air back to him. God bless you, Mike. That was a good one. You got me and all of you. And again, Mr. Mayor, we really appreciate you being here and doing this. And we're going to speak with Mayor Mike Duggan and this incredible run he has had in this final month before he moves on to what could very well be an even more significant position for the people in the state of Michigan. Stay with us. It's a surprised Paul W. Smith in focus. Well, it is truly an honor to have the mayor of the great city of Detroit, Mayor Mike Duggan, who has 1 month, basically, to wrap things up, then put his nose to the grindstone and run for governor of the great state of Michigan. And we will be, in fact, broadcasting at next week's Detroit Economic Club event at the Soundboard inside Motor City Casino, and that was supposed to be, and still will be, our exit interview. That's your goodbye this coming Monday.
It seems like I'm having a lot of goodbyes, but I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, you know, I'm not saying this. I mean, I already got the key to the city. I'm not saying this to butter you up. You know how I feel, that you have done a marvelous job under incredibly, I'll say, impossible circumstances initially to turn this city around. And I know you want to do that with the state. And there's plenty of work to do.
There is. And people have just been fantastic. And, you know, Tony Michaels made me a grand marshal in the Thanksgiving parade. And I said to Sonia, we can't sit on the back of a car and wave at people. So we got out and walked the route and just shaking hands and taking pictures. And people were just wonderful. 3 miles of a special memory there. And really every day, people of the city have just been tremendous. And, you know, I've loved every minute of it.
You have. And we've loved every minute of it. And I'm just glad that you are feeling and getting the thanks that you deserve. Not everyone always does. And especially, sadly, in positions of power like mayors and governors and senators and congressmen and presidents. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough position these days. It's tough to please as many people as you have clearly pleased in your position.
Well, there's two worlds. You know, you look at the media and the social media and the criticism and the attacks. I always continued to meet with residents in the community, and I always knew how the residents felt. There is such a disconnect between the angry chatter on the media and how people feel. But the last Detroit News poll that has me at 84% approval rating.
Wow.
That's the way it feels. But on the other hand, that means 1 out of 6 Detroiters wasn't satisfied with the job I'd done. I thought if I had one more term, I probably could have improved that record. But it was the right time, and Mary Sheffield's going to do a good job. I look at the state of Michigan, and you say, where are we? We're second in the country in unemployment rate. We're near the bottom of the country in third grade reading, and almost the worst in the country at kids under 30 moving out of state. And you say, how long am I going to watch these Republicans and Democrats keep fighting with each other and not solve people's problems and see whether the people of the city are tired of politics as usual and want a different choice? And if they do, they're going to have that third choice of me. And if they're happy with their Republican and Democratic choices, they're going to be able to continue to vote in that way. And we'll see how it plays out this year. But so far, every place I've gone in the state, people are pretty angry at politics as usual.
And rightfully so. The fault is at the feet of the Republicans and the Democrats. It's the problems, the things that they worry about show that they're more concerned about their party than us, we the people. Perfect example is you had so much support from the Democrat Party.
Right.
And in one moment, they switched on you and had all these bad things to say about you merely because you said you weren't going to run as a Democrat. That showed, to me, that explained everything. That showed why you were right to go down the center and not be a Republican or a Democrat. They proved it for you and for the rest of us. And anyone who didn't see that, let me remind you, the Democrats loved Mike Duggan until he said, it'd be like if he had a white shirt on and they loved him and he put a blue shirt on and all of a sudden they don't like him. That's how simple and stupid that was. But it indicated to all of us that what was most important to them was their party. Not getting things done like you do and will, not caring about their constituents as you have.
Well, my wife and I laugh every morning because the Democratic Party hate posts on me every single
day. It's unbelievable.
And they pull up stories from 7 or 8 years ago that have long since been discredited. And I thought, if the Democratic Party would just take one day off and say, Here's our plan for affordable housing. Here's our plan for long-term mental health care. Here's our plan to teach kids how to read. But, of course, they have no plan. They are completely consumed by attacking and beating Republicans. And now I broaden their platform, so they're now also consumed by attacking and beating me. But they just don't get it. The average person wants to know, what are you going to do to solve my problems? And I think the two parties have lost their way. At least that's my feeling.
I think you're absolutely right. It's hard to argue with that, Mr. Mayor. A tough topic for you and me and for many. I know that you and Dr. Sonia were at the Michigan-Ohio State football game.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
If the start of this year, it felt like a 9-3 team. And it ended the year as a 9-3.
Well, we didn't want one of those three to be OSU.
But it would have been good to be more competitive. But next year, Bryce Underwood's a sophomore. A lot of those folks are younger, and I think it's going to be the real measure of this team. And it'll be Sharon's chance to prove what he can do.
Congratulations on this big week for DDOT. Detroit awarded $50 million federal grants for new buses, finalizing the pay raises for mechanics. All very good news, everything that's happening there. Again, more good news coming from Mayor Mike Duggan.
Congratulations on the key to the city, Paul W.
You're very kind, and thank you to your team, including Pamela McLean, for helping make that happen with you, Mr. Mayor. It's impossible to put into words what this means to me.
It was a joy for us.
Thank you, sir. We continue in focus on WJR. Well, now I'm totally confused. I thought we were going right back to the real rundown.
It's a day of surprises.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can take too many more surprises. This one, getting this key to the city, having the mayor come in, I was all ready for this big Ann Thomas award ceremony.
Well,
you guys couldn't have gotten me any better.
We only lie to you for your own benefit.
Well, I appreciate that. So, since we're not going to Eben Brown,
we've got a caller on the line here. Caller, you're on WJR.
Hi, sweetheart. Oh my God, the key to the city. Out of you, and I got so emotional when you received that award. I am now suddenly emotional too. But
this is my wife, Kim, and she obviously knew what was going on, and you did a phenomenal job of keeping a secret.
Throwing you off the scent a little bit, but oh my gosh, I just am so proud of you. You've received so many awards, but I know this one's a really big deal and an extra special honor. You just love the city so much, and not to mention all the contributions you've made to Detroit, and I just wanted to call in and make sure you knew how happy I was for you and how proud I am. And I just love you so much, and this is well-deserved.
I share this award with you, Kimberly, I couldn't have done much of what I've done in the last 15 years without you. And
well, thank you, honey.
though I've been doing as much as I can for over 30 years here in Detroit, it gets harder and harder as you get older and older. But you were always so supportive and always by my side. And you kept me going when I would get down a little bit. And you always have reminded me of how lucky I've been. And I'm very grateful for that, Kim, in
well,
every
thank
way.
Thank you, sweetheart. It's been my honor and pleasure helping you, honestly, with everything that we've gone through. It's been quite the journey, but happy to be here. But listen, before I go, I just want to mention something. Do we have one more minute?
I guess.
Go ahead.
Mike is running the show, literally. Yeah.
Everyone know. Happy Cyber Monday, by the way. You'd be proud of me. I'm doing a good job saving a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah, the more we save, the more broke I'm afraid we'll be. But go ahead.
Oh, God. But as all of your listeners know, you really do love a good deal. Right?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel compelled to put out a cautionary public service announcement to all the business establishments in Detroit. If their alarm goes off in the night, it just might be Paul W. Smith trying out his key to take care of some last-minute Christmas shopping.
Oh, you mean this key works in all the stores and stuff? Wow.
Well, I'm thinking you could get some gift cards from the London Chop House or Joe Muir's or go shopping at a store.
Wow.
Call, I got big plans.
Paul, make sure your one call from prison is to us tomorrow so we can interview you about it.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Thank you. I'll see you a little later. I love you, love you, love you.
I feel like we're doing Paul W. This Is Your Life because we have another caller who wants to say hi.
Okay.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, my God. Sophie.
Hello.
Did you know about this, too?
Maybe. Congratulations, Dad. I'm so happy for you and proud of you. And you are the sweetest man ever. I knew you were going to cry. So, so sweet, but so well-deserved. And yeah, I just wanted to say hello.
Oh, sweetheart. This is Sophie, of course. Mm-hmm. She's 22. She now lives in New York City, much to my chagrin. But we went and visited her, and we're very proud of her. Do you have her heartbeat anywhere close by? Because my listeners heard this over 22 years ago. And that's when she was still inside her mother. That was her little heartbeat. And I played that on the air because I was so thrilled to have it.
Yep.
My first and only biological child. And when I played it, nurses who were driving into work, probably to Henry Ford and whatever, they all called and said right away they knew what it was. Because some people listened and said, what in the world is that? Well, that was my little Sophie before she was even born. And 22 years later, she has turned out to be anything and everything any father could ever hope for. And I love you. You know I love you. I try to speak to you every day and have tried to speak to you every day since you were born. No matter where I was around the world, and no matter where you were.
It's true. It is true. Love you so, so much, Dad. Thank you. And congrats again.
Thank you, sweetheart.
All right.
And then there's this thing that I always do with Sophie at the end of a conversation or the end of the day, And it may sound bizarre to you, but I've been doing it since she was three. I would say, bye, sweetheart. I love you.
Mwah.
I don't know where it came from, but it's our little thing.
I thought you hugged.
It's our thing.
It is our thing.
I was going to guess you said regards.
No. No, why didn't I think of that? Yeah. I blew that for the last 22 years. All right, sweetheart.
All right.
I love you so much. Talk to
love
you later.
You.
And speaking of daughters who live in New York, we have another call on the line.
Hi, the last well-wisher. Hi, Paul.
There's one after you, but.
Is this Natalie?
Oh, maybe not the last. Yes, it's Natalie.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
We
Congrats.
Couldn't be more proud of you working for Real Simple Magazine and living in Brooklyn and working in New York City. God bless you. And so nice of you to call in and to be a part of this surprise celebration. Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. It's amazing how much you've done for Detroit, and we are all so proud of all of your accomplishments, especially earning the key to the city. That is so freaking awesome.
Well, it's so nice. So nice of you to say, sweetheart, and for you to participate in this. And you and your mother and brother coming into my life 15, 16, 17, I don't know how many years ago, has meant the world to me. And again, your mom and I couldn't be more proud of you, Natalie. Natalie Geisinger she went to New York knowing nobody and just working very hard and doing a great job in a now great job with Real Simple Magazine. And both of our daughters went to New York. It's a big deal to go to New York alone without knowing anybody there. It's not easy. And I know because I went to New York alone, and it wasn't easy back in 1985. And it's not gotten any easier. But you're loving it, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm living with my boyfriend, and I've now made many friends and many great connections there. So very happy there. Thank you.
Well, we're very happy with you, with Alex, and Sophie is with Sebastian, and he's from around here. And so they went to New York together, and they're conquering the big city. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Very proud of you, Natalie, and thanks for taking time to call from your busy day. We appreciate that. Love you.
Of course. Love you, too. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And we have one final well-wisher here we want to get in. Go ahead.
Hello, Dad.
Is this Adam?
Adam.
My sweet boy, who I've been in his life since he was maybe 10 and adopted him. He is my son, and I couldn't be more proud and happier. And he was in New York visiting Sophie. Are you back? Or are you still in New York?
I am just getting ready. I'm just packing up. I couldn't be with Sophie when we called, so I'm calling separately. Well, otherwise, I would be there today as a proud resident of Detroit. I really just wanted to say I'm proud to be your son, to know you on and off the air. It's been an honor. And what you've done for the city means the world to me, Detroit. And it's the key to the city is totally, totally deserved. You have all of our hearts, and you have my heart for sure. And it's just amazing what you have done for the city. I've seen the good, bad, and the ugly, and you are the absolute most positive force that I can imagine for this city.
You're so, very kind. You're very sweet, Adam. I love you, and I'm very proud of you. And I cannot easily describe what you do for a living, but you work for a foreign company, and it's got to do with concerts and software. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, I work for ActivityStream Inc. We provide software to help run music venues and theaters all around the world. And it's a great place to be in the entertainment sector to help venues be their best selves and put on the best events possible.
And I've been to a million concerts, and I never think of software being involved in presenting the whole show. But obviously, it's a very intricate part of a successful presentation, and you're helping those companies around the world do that. And I think it's very cool.
Thank you. Entertainment is in both of our bloods. Well, and
I guess
I'm happy
so.
To be part of it.
I guess so. Well, I know you had a good visit with your sister, and you had some good dinners, which you can certainly get in New York City, that's for sure. But we're happy you're coming home to Detroit, where you belong, where you've lived for a very long time. And I love you, and I really appreciate on a busy day of travel that you've called in to congratulate me. Thank you, Adam. I love you.
Love you, too. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. That's my boy. I got two of them. Two daughters, two boys, two sons. Couldn't be more proud of either one of them the way I am. I am so proud. And what a blessing children are. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in my life. And I just have to be reminded about that from time to time. I'm like a human being. I get up and I get down. And that's, Kim is, you know, that's that wind beneath my wings kind of a thing. She is that and more. in my life, and I couldn't be more thankful and proud of her as well. Thank you to my WJR listeners, too. I feel as if I'm saying goodbye right now, but unless they have another surprise for me, I think that I will be continuing to be on the air.
I'm telling you the truth. There are no more surprises today.
Okay, because I don't know that I could take another one. Thank you, Mike, for everything you've done. And Danielle, because you guys obviously were in on this. And wow.
It's been great getting to know your family over the last couple of days. I mean, what wonderful kids you have.
I have a great family.
And Kim did a lot to coordinate this. So a lot of people who love you doing a lot behind the scenes to make this happen.
Well, I hope that I show you all that I love you and appreciate you every day, because I do. We continue in Focus on WJR. All right. We're on to what be what I expected we'd be talking about. A quick note with Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6 on WJR. It's one of the greatest shows on the radio. And it's been a busy day. MSU yesterday fired Jonathan Smith. I think already have hired Pat Fitzgerald. We had my alma mater, Michigan, lose terribly to Ohio State in the game. And the Lions fall to 7-5 after that Thanksgiving loss to the Packers. I don't know. Anthony, I don't know where we begin here.
I think we begin with Key to the City, Paul W. I mean, studio audience. I mean, look at this guy. I mean, so many. There we go. I mean, come on. I mean, WVMO in Monroe, WSPD, CKLW, WJR, WABC. I mean, you've been all over the place, Paul W. And you know what? A lot of keys to a lot of cities. I mean, you're going to be walking up down the hallway. It's going to sound like a janitor going up and down the hallway with all the keys that you're going to have here. Congratulations to you, my friend.
This is my home, so this is the most important, and I appreciate that, Anthony. We're out of time, I don't know. What do you think about the Lions? That's the most pertinent right now.
Well, you know, you got 5 games left, and it's going to take at bare minimum 3-2 or 4-1 to make the playoffs, and they needed to win Thanksgiving. They did not get the victory, so now you don't necessarily control your own destiny. You got to win a lot of games, but you're going to need a little bit of help, and it's not exactly a place they wanted to find themselves here in 2025, my friend.
God bless you for doing the great job that you do day in and day out for us here at WJR. Co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown, the legend, Lomas Brown Jr., the one and only Anthony Bellino. Thank you, Anthony. Love you.
Thank you, Paul W. Love you as well.
We continue on WJR. Well, pretty phenomenal first hour for me, at least, and I just want to thank everybody, and I just talked to Kim again, and she said Mike Parsons really got everything all put together and quarterbacked this whole thing, which was not easy. He was with my kids all over the place, and Kim. I mean, it's just it's been
wonderful. You always say the team from, you know, Ann, Thomas, Mike Wheeler, Steve Finitari coordinating with the mayor's office to Kim helping me coordinate with her and the kids. It was a lot of us were all kind of pulling our weight here, and we just wanted to make sure that today was as special for you as it could be.
Well, you got me. I mean, you got me, and it was, and it is, and it will be remembered for the rest of my life as being one of the high points and special. And I absolutely believed that we were doing a special awards presentation to Ann Thomas from MSU. And it was going to be a big surprise for her.
Right.
And when you said, Paul, this is really not a big thing, I'm going, what the heck's going on here? And that's what I'm prepared for. What happened here?
Well, the cue for them to walk in was, she's not getting an award, you are. And then I was like, you are. And then I saw the door open. Because I'm like, if the mayor doesn't walk in with the key to the city in about five seconds, Paul's going to kill me for bringing him down here for nothing.
Well, anyway, and thanks to Pamela McLean, who worked hard in the mayor's office. I just met her for the first time. to put this whole thing together, which is a you must have it on a camera or a picture somewhere you can post.
We've got, yeah. I mean, we had our web team in there, paparazzi style, taking video. I took Ray Templin got the cameras in the studio working just in time.
I wondered what Ray was doing down here on his knees working so feverishly. And I said, Ray, I need to talk to you, Ray. And then he disappeared. I went, where did Ray go?
Well, because I told everyone, you know, your whole family, I said, I'll send you guys the video. And then I went to roll the video and it wasn't working. I'm like, Ray, I need you to come in here and fix the video. So he got it. He got it fixed just as Duggan was giving you the Key to the City award there.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we got another angle with Andrew and Justin from the web department taking pictures and video following the mayor in to give you the Key to the City.
Oh, that's lovely. And it's in a beautiful box. I don't know, what do you call it? Shadow box? I don't know what you call these kinds of things. It's three-dimensional.
Just a frame.
There's an old picture of me without the beard. I think it's my official picture here at the station.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it's the logo for the podcast and all. It's your headshot that we took a couple years ago.
Yeah, and it says, presented to Paul W. Smith in deep gratitude for your decades of leadership, informing and educating millions of dedicated listeners in and beyond the city of Detroit on issues that touch their lives and for helping tell the story of Detroit's turnaround. And it is signed Mayor Michael E. Duggan, December 1st, 2025. One of the last things he's doing. He's got just a month left. It makes it extra special. And then there's a Key to the City. And underneath it, I love that the WJR logo is on there as well. It should be. And I thank all the people you thanked. I thank all of them, too, without going through the whole list, because they got me on this. I was a total shock, total surprise.
I get a bonus every time I book someone that makes you cry on the air, so I'm just trying to build that up before the end of the year.
Oh, jeez. Well, that aside, there was plenty of room for tears over the weekend with football starting Thanksgiving Day. What the heck?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I think that the loss of Ben Johnson has hurt us more than we've liked to admit up until this point. I mean, especially with his Bears being the number one seed right now, he's taking his shirt off for free hot dogs. The magic that was there last year, it's not quite there, and it's in Chicago. So that loss of Ben Johnson, I think, hurt us more than we like to admit.
Now, with skipping up to the Michigan game, which the first quarter looked like this was a dream come true. Now, there are those who said, well, it's the first quarter. If they could maintain this, this would be unbelievable. And as it turned out, it was unbelievable. But I can't remember, was it in that game or the Lions game where the refs gave them a touchdown that didn't really count?
That was the Lions game.
Where the guy jumbled the ball and then stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, where it didn't look like he had control of the ball.
Right, he didn't have control of the ball.
I mean, if that was Calvin Johnson, they would have ruled that an incomplete pass.
Right.
And then there was that weird false start penalty that got called back because they said that Matt LaFleur called timeout before the Packers jumped offside.
From every
angle, it didn't look like he got the timeout in on time, and the next play was a touchdown.
Well, I'm not going to make excuses because it's not one or two bad calls that costs a game. It's the whole doggone game.
Right.
And but it was disappointing. And then I was so proud of the Spartans, and I know people say, you were rooting for Michigan State. Anybody who knows me knows I root for Michigan State.
Right.
I'd like to have some of the Michigan State Spartans root for Michigan from time to time. I know that doesn't happen very often, but I root for Michigan State unless they're playing my school.
Sure.
Where I went to school, Michigan, obviously. And I was so proud of them. It was already in the works that they were getting rid of their coach Smith. And
I feel like it was less than an hour after they announced that Jonathan Smith was fired that Pat Fitzgerald emerged as the person who they're probably going to hire in his place.
I hope he's a good guy, but he hasn't even been coaching for the last few years. I don't get it. Isn't there somebody hot out there that that would be more likely? I'm not against him. I don't know him. I just know he hasn't been coaching for a while.
I mean, I just like when Jonathan Smith came in, I hope that he would have success. But you're right. I think Pat Fitzgerald, I think he stopped coaching Northwestern just before all this transfer portal.
It was a hazing thing. Yeah. There was some kind of a issue.
Right. Yeah. And even that aside, you know, it was a completely different world back when he was coaching last for Northwestern.
Yeah,
so.
It wasn't that long ago that the money wasn't so ridiculous as it is now, and people will continue to talk about it because Jonathan Smith, depending on how long they pay him out, I thought it was just 4 more years. Do you realize, think of this for a second. How would your life change if you made $700,000 a month doing nothing? Because that's, if it's 4 years till 2030, counting 26 starting there, it's like $700,000 a month.
The best job in the world is a fired football coach.
Yeah, but I got to ask you this question. And somebody in the paper wrote it was a payout longer, so it was only $525,000 a month.
Oh, a discount.
For 5 years or whatever. I don't know what it is. Here's the point. We have to find our way in both college sports especially, but in college and in the pros. It is unforgivable that there are people who are playing in a game who make more than an entire school system pays their teachers.
Yeah.
We've got that all screwed up, folks.
It's backwards.
And our society is starting to reflect that. We pay these people who entertain us, who have a certain set of skills on a field or court or diamond, and the people who are most important to our future, the people who have our children, I'm telling you, there are players that make more in a year than is paid to an entire school system of teachers. That's unbelievable. I just ask people to think about that. And so everybody's going to think about Jonathan Smith, and I don't blame him. It's if you can make the deal, I don't blame the players even.
Right, good work if you can get it.
If you can make the deal, and if you have billionaire owners in the pros, and you can get this kind of money, go for it. But somebody's got to stand up and say, this doesn't make any sense, does it? And how expensive is it going to get to go to these games? Just wrong. And this just points it out. We'll argue about it. We'll say, you shouldn't get that kind of money. Well, he does. And it's not his fault. It's the people who signed off on the contract. And guess what? The new guy coming in, he sees what that guy was getting. You think he's going to take less? I don't think so. It's a world where everyone thinks they need to get a dollar more than the last person because they're worth it. It's not good. It's not good. It is 1:14 at 760 WJR. I've been around a long time, and I have friends and family that I've told you about, and that happens to be family heating, cooling, and electrical, where family is not just in their name. It is the way they do business, and for nearly 50 years, and I've been with them almost all 50. In fact, I'm having dinner, I think, this Friday with Dan Pelko and Crystal Klempert Pelko, the next generation of family. And there's no better time than now to prepare your home for the chill of winter. There's no company I trust more to give you that peace of mind than my friends at Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They recommend having your furnace or boiler cleaned and checked for proper operation before the cold weather settles in. Appointments are filling up fast. Don't wait until that first cold night to find out your furnace isn't working properly. Contact them today and get on the schedule for your annual furnace clean and check. If you do find that your existing furnace or boiler is not coming on and needs a service call, Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical can repair it for you, so it's ready when you need it. Remember, none of their people work on commission, so they're never going to try to, you know, sell you something maybe you don't need or want. And now Family is the official heating, cooling, and electrical partner of the Detroit Red Wings. There's no better time to schedule your appointment than right now. Visit familyheating.com. All the phone numbers, all the locations. That's familyheating.com. You'll be glad when you become a part of the family with the next generation of Dan Pelko and Crystal Klempert Pelko. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. We continue in Focus on WJR at 121, and we welcome a woman who I know you're going to say have her on all the time, but Mike says we haven't had her on since October.
Right?
October?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were off for a while, then we had all those remotes. But, yeah, I looked back and said, oh, my gosh, October 31st, and we love having Debbie Dingell on.
We do. U.S. Congresswoman of Michigan's 6th District, longtime friend, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Good afternoon to you, Congresswoman.
Well, good afternoon, Paul W., to you. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and congratulations on the mayor giving you the key to the city.
Unbelievable. It was a great Thanksgiving with family, and I was totally shocked. I was told there was a special award that Ann Thomas was getting from MSU. It turns out she is really getting a special award from MSU, but not till April. And they got me. I mean, I was absolutely here. I was trying to keep quiet. I wasn't letting Ann get any ideas about anything. And then they reversed it all, and they said it was for me. And, oh, my gosh, I couldn't be more pleased than getting the key to the city from a great mayor in his last month in office. And I'm only disappointed that the Democrats have turned on him merely because he said he would run as an independent. I don't need to get into that argument with you. I don't want to, and I won't. But let's talk about some things that are going on. I gotta ask you this question. You and I have been around a long time.
Let's keep it in perspective. We've got a lot of energy and years ahead of us, too.
Absolutely. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but I am suggesting that it gets weirder and weirder and weirder. I cannot imagine a guy walks up to a guy he doesn't know and shoots him dead in the back for some idealistic idea thing that he has. Again, I remind you, he didn't know this guy, and this guy never saw him. He shot him dead in the back, Luigi Mangione, or whatever his name is, I hate to say it, and he has a fan club. There were people outside today cheering for this murderer. Can you kind of help me understand that? Because I don't get it at all.
I think we all need to be very, very, very worried about the level of violence that is being normalized in this country. I think, you know, social media has given people a license to, like, you and I were raised to be polite, to respect people. You could disagree in a certain way. I made the mistake of looking at a picture from the Michigan game this weekend. And I know some of the comments are bots, but people are cruel and awful. Now, are people unhappy with healthcare in this country? Yes. Are there horrific stories? Yes. But that gives nobody a license for violence, for even screaming in somebody's face. They should become engaged and change the system, which some of us are trying to do. But I think we are. I couldn't tell where you were going at first, because what happened to the two young National Guard on Wednesday is also just another horrific thing that people are forgetting about already.
Please tell me, because I don't look. Don't tell me there's anyone on social media that is cheering on the murder and horrific wounding of the two National Guards people. Please tell me that's not on social media.
I wish that I could say that to you, but there are, and by the way, I'm trying to figure it out, because some of these are foreign country bots who really specialize in trying to divide us and to post some of the most ugliest things they can. But those influence people. And the scariest thing is they really influence young people. So, you know, all of us need to stand up against violence, vitriolicness, murder. It's not an answer to anything. But how do we all need to, we need to stop being so divided and become united around a few things. And being united against violence and hate is something that should unite us.
Well, we need to be united about overreaction, too. And President Trump is an overreactor, no surprises here. He's now going to pause all asylum decisions after the National Guard shooting. And I'm not sure that's exactly the right way to go.
I want to say this to you. There are men and women who kept our troops safe when they were in Afghanistan. Now, I think going forward, we need to, before we go to war in any country, we need to have a vote of the Congress, and the War Powers Act is there for it. But we don't have, we don't understand what happened. I have a lot of questions, none of which have answers. And we don't want anyone to be like that. But, and you know, what good does it do to point, well, it came under this and he was naturalized under this administration? We need to understand what happened. But one of the things that we need to understand, and I'm going to take you right back to social media, because even some of these young people in Dearborn that were arrested by the FBI a couple of weeks ago, there are things happening online where people are being totally brainwashed. They believe what they're seeing, and it should scare us. It should scare us what's happening to everybody in our community. But our young people, it's really frightening.
And by the way, I do believe that every alien should be vetted and screened to the maximum degree possible. And if we haven't been doing that, shame on us. Quickly, so you go out and you blow up a boat that you believe, you say, with great assuredness, whether it's true or not, we don't know. You blow up the boat because they're trying to smuggle drugs into the United States. That's not against the law, but going back to make sure that the other two that are hanging on are killed, that's against the law? I mean, war has some very bizarre rules, doesn't it?
Yes, but let me say this. There were men that were sentenced to death from Japan when they did it during World War II. There are civilized rules that anybody who's been raised with values in whatever background you come from should know the difference in what's right and wrong. And killing people to kill people is wrong.
Well, but that's what they were doing with the first bomb. But the one that I'm hearing all of the arguments about and all of the uproar was the second bomb. And I don't understand. What if they all died in the first bomb? Then we wouldn't be talking about this?
Well, but I do believe that apparently there were two survivors, and you don't kill survivors.
Yeah, like I said,
you arrest them.
War has, well, if anyone's around there to arrest them, a war is the most bizarre thing with rules. And by the way, if any of these guys were fishermen, don't think that the country and their president, who hates us and our president hates him, wouldn't he parade those families around saying, they killed my husband and my son, and all they were doing was fishing? We'd have video of that constantly if it were the case, but they haven't come up with that at all.
You know, Paul W., I simply don't know. We need facts, which unfortunately a lot of people don't believe in facts and truth anymore. There are a lot of unanswered questions about many, many disturbing things that we watch every day right now.
You're right. You're right. God bless you. And the idea is that we can disagree. I know this because a newspaper once said it about me, and I was proud of it. I think it was in Philadelphia. I'm not sure. But they said I had learned the art of disagreeing without being disagreeable. And that's what you tried to do, and that's why I love you.
The nuns taught me that. I was a very lucky woman to have nuns that instilled very strong values.
We both had nuns.
Yeah, I mean, you had the same. John Dingell ran away from there.
Well, he might have been the smarter of the three of us, but
it was in second grade.
I had the IHM nuns myself growing up in grade school.
You went to the same school.
St. Mary's
it
Catholic.
It was a boarding school when John went there. It was a long time. There was a significant age difference between us, as you know.
But... Yes, I do.
And my mother ran away from there, too. There's trivia. Both my mother and John ran away from the boarding school.
Well, my mother, Sweet Marie, lived, well, she didn't live in the boarding school, but she stayed with St. Mary's Academy, which is now Monroe Catholic Central. No, St. Mary's
too.
Monroe Catholic Central. I don't know what they, you know, now it's boys and girls. It was all boys when I was there. It was all girls at the academy when you were there. But now it's co-ed. All right. God bless you. What's that?
We were brought up with values. We were brought up to respect each other and to respect the dignity of every human being. We are lucky. We know what that means.
I think we're very lucky, and we need to get back to that one way or another. That's what I think. Thank you, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell.
Happy Monday. Congratulations again.
Thank you again very much as we continue on this Cyber Monday on WJR. Thanks to our good friend Link Bessert, one of the top account executives here. He hates it when I mention him on the radio. Hates it. Help 760 WJR thank our heroes this Christmas. It's WJR's Christmas on Us, our way to honor the dedication and sacrifice of Michigan's active military families and veterans. They make sacrifices all year long. Help us ensure they have a truly joyful Christmas. Do you know a deserving family who serves our country? Nominate them now, please, at WJR.com. Please do that. Nominate a deserving family who serves our country at WJR.com and stand by and look forward to the show, the Christmas on Us show, with Ryan Ermani coming up in the days ahead. Here's a guy who has served his country so well in so many different ways. Former FBI agent, had he been the head of the FBI in Trump's first term and this term, the president would be way better off. He's the former chairman of the U.S. Intelligence Committee. He's a successful businessman and now Republican Senate candidate. He is Congressman Mike Rogers. Michael, always a pleasure. It's been a while. How are you doing?
Paul, I am doing exceptionally well, and congratulations, Key to the City. I hope it also gives you the code to the vault. I hope they etch that on the back.
There might be a bunch of IOUs in that vault, you know? I got to be careful. But, you know, I just remind my listeners that Mike's been around. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here on the day I get the Key to the City. That's special.
Yeah.
But you also were there and inducting me into the National Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago a number of years ago.
Which was fantastic, by the way, and a great honor for me to be able to do that. It was pretty exceptional.
Well, it was fabulous. And the late Larry King was there. And remember, he leaned on something and fell off the stage. I'll never forget that. And
He did. Yeah. He did indeed.
And there was a...
I hope you don't associate that with his early demise, Paul.
No. But it was there was a sports guy that I used to work with who was also going into the hall and was supposed to be his closest friend, and even he didn't get up to help Larry. And I thought, what the heck?
I was standing right in the back, so I was there to actually help him up.
Oh, well, that's good that you did. Somebody had to. Meanwhile, there's a lot going on here. And so the top U.S. officials and a Ukrainian delegation met in Florida yesterday for the latest round of discussions on a plan to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Where are we on that, Mike? What's going on? Where are we?
Well, I mean, I got to believe we're closer than we have been. There's at least been a framework agreed to, which I think is really, really important. Listen, I don't think anybody's going to be happy. People came out and said, oh, my God, this is the worst deal ever. My phone blew up. It's the worst deal ever. I don't know what's in the deal, so I'm not sure how they know it's the worst deal ever. I just know that they're losing literally several thousand people a day in this conflict, and anything that we can do to stop the shooting and get a peace deal here is going to be I think, significant, and it will help that community heal, help Ukraine get its feet back under him. And I think could, if we do this right, could box Putin in to you know, put his toys away and stop invading countries. I mean, Russia has a horrific track record of invading countries. And so I'm just going to hope for the best on this. I'd be interested to see as the details come out. But I will guarantee if they get to a deal where they ink it, I'm going to pretty much guarantee that the Russians aren't going to be completely happy and neither are the Ukrainians.
Well, that's the only way you can come upon an agreement like this. Quickly, while I have you here, our friend Mike Bishop, former congressman from Michigan, wrote an editorial piece. The headline was, "Slotkin chose the wrong way to challenge President Trump." I was so infuriated by what those senators, Alyssa Slotkin and the rest of them, did in trying to confuse these young men and women in our military by pretending they've been given, in one way or another, illegal orders from the president. And, you know, it's astonishing to me that no news media has gone to any of those soldiers and asked them how they felt or if they were confused by that or are concerned by that, because the news media is in the pocket of the Democrat Party and these people who they feel can do no wrong. But I got to tell you something. What they did was wrong. What do you think about what the Democrats did with that ridiculous video?
I think it was reckless. I think it was dangerous. We had so much outpouring. We actually put a video together. You can go on our website, rogersforsenate.com, and see it, where real veterans express themselves about how angry they were about this. Oh, it is unbelievable that you, as an elected official, would interject chaos into the good order of the military. You're going to ask a 22-year-old to just step back and think, you know, who gave this order? Is it a legal order? You do that, and people are going to get hurt, and people are going to die. I mean, this is dangerous. This is not fun and games. This is interjecting partisanship at a level I've just never seen before, because it jeopardizes the good order and structure of the United States military, and it encourages insubordination. I served as a young officer in the United States Army. I just can't imagine every time you give an order, you have people on the outside saying, "Hey, you have the right to ask questions." No, you really don't. You'll know an illegal order when you hear it, but every day, all day long, people are asked to do hard things in the United States military. Interjecting confusion and chaos is exactly what they did, and they're doubling down on it again, is wrong, it's dangerous, it's reckless, and it jeopardizes men and women who serve here in the United States and around the world as well. And you even heard the good congresswoman talking about foreign entities using bots to try to sow confusion. You don't think they grabbed a hold of that, the Russians, the Chinese, and trying to send those messages to our young men and women? I mean, this is terrible. They should stop. They should apologize. They should walk it back. That would be the right thing to do.
Well, and your quote earlier, we need leaders who will respect our military, not undermine it. Slotkin and Senate Democrats owe our service members and their families an apology. I couldn't agree more. Rogersforsenate.com and see the video from real Americans who are talking about how these people tried to undermine America. It is disgusting. And though they got the reaction from the president that they were counting on, that doesn't take away from what they did, and what they did was wrong. Period. Mike Rogers, we appreciate you. We wish you very good luck in your senatorial run here. And at rogersforsenate.com, you can get more information. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Great to hear your voice. Congratulations on getting the key again.
Thank you so much. We continue in Focus on WJR. All righty. We close out this very special day, and I thank the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and joining the team, Pamela McLean, Mayor Mike Duggan, Ann Thomas, Steve Finitari, Mike, what's his name, Wheeler. I just give him a hard time whenever I see him, and I don't want that to stop. It's his turn to buy lunch, by the way. Anyway, all of them that conspired behind my back, and here I am sitting now, the proud recipient of the key to the city of Detroit, which when Mayor Mike Duggan showed up, and I was told we were doing a special giveaway to Ann Thomas, and I bought that hook, line, and sinker. And in fact, I was almost disappointed when we didn't give the special award to Ann Thomas, but I'm thrilled that I got the key to the city. Okay. Marie Osborne, our WJR Director of Community Affairs and News, is here. The nation's largest internet provider says a Supreme Court case that's underway could jeopardize internet access for all Americans. What in the world's going on here, Riri?
Yeah, Paul. So at the center of all this is Cox Communications. They're one of the nation's largest broadband companies, and recording labels that include Sony Music accuse Cox of turning a blind eye while tens of thousands of customers swapped copyrighted songs online, losses that they say amounted to billions of dollars in their business losses. A jury once ordered Cox to pay a $1 billion fine, but in an appeals court later reduced that penalty, sending the dispute back for review. So now the music industry insists that providers have to do more to stop these repeat offenders. In other words, people who are repeatedly copying music for free. Cox counters that it shouldn't be punished for failing to act on automated notices, warning that such rules would force providers to cut off the internet access based on unverified claims. So now the Justice Department and major tech firms, as well as civil liberties groups, they're siding with Cox on this one, arguing that when you strict liability could harm things like hospitals, schools, and families who rely on shared connections. So this is a real difficult question to ask, but the music industry is very steadfast on this one. They say they are losing millions of dollars every year because of this process.
I'm not going to lie to you, and I don't like that expression because it indicates apparently I've been lying to you all along, but I'm not going to lie to you. I don't understand this at all. Am I supposed to be nervous and worried about this?
Well, a couple of things. You know, we want a music industry that's right. We all love music. We want it to be robust and all of that. But on the other hand, people who, you know, take things for free, this is causing a problem. Now, who's to blame for that? And who should be held accountable for that?
There's no question that in this world we live in today, the laws meant to protect us in any number of ways are not keeping up with the technology. And that appears appears to be what's happening here.
Right. Technology at the heart of it. Yep.
Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News. I'm off on station business yesterday, but what a great day. But guess who's here? Ryan Ermani. And JR Afternoon, so you're in luck. Regards, Paul W. Smith.